Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Let me read some to you, beginning verse 19. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall put on, or what ye shall drink, or yet for the body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I think the older I get, the more I see a need for these words of this Sermon on the Mount. To read it and understand it and let it soak into my soul. I know of nothing at this point in my Christian life that more comforts me and reassures me than knowing that I have a Father in heaven who loves me and cares for me and will provide for me. And I love sometime just to go here and read these passages and remember that. And I think as we look at this passage, and we've looked at it in great detail, and I can't do that this afternoon, but I just want to mainly look at these verses and remind you. And one of the reasons I wanted to do that is because it seems like that in our day that we're facing a very, very peculiar crisis in our society. It's evident that we look around us that some kind of awful crisis is coming on this world. And one of the things that's so peculiar about it that I've never seen before, it's coming on the world. It's not just one nation or two nations, but now our world seems to be headed for a crisis. And they know about it. They're aware of it. And what they seem to be saying now is the remedy for this crisis is for us to join together, nation with nations, to see if we can, as one, solve this crisis. And what makes that so concerning to me is when the world joins together, it's never good for God's little flock. When they got together there in the huge valley and said, let us join together and make us a tower to heaven, that wasn't good for the little church. And God stopped it. Nebuchadnezzar in his day that ruled over the nations, He got together and built his image and said, let all nations bow to it. That wasn't good for the little flock. The little flock wouldn't bow. And the little flock was thrown into the fiery furnace. It seems like it's never good when the world realizes the best remedy for its problem is to bind hand in hand and house to house. Because when the kings get together and the governors of the earth and the mighty, it's always against the Lord and against His Christ. And I doubt seriously if we're facing the magnitude that seemingly we're facing today without something that's going to come out of this. What the world seems like it's facing, it goes beyond the powers of flesh and blood. You know, we look at what's going on, and the politicians look at what's going on, and the heads of state, and they say, you know, this is caused by man, and it'll be fixed by man. But they're looking at some problems that maybe will be fixed by man. But I tell you, there's some great powers behind what's going on in our society today. It's beyond flesh and blood. It's beyond the power of humanity. These two great powers, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Sovereign Lord, and the God of this earth, is doing battle. They're fighting for the hearts and minds and souls of men and women. I don't know how this is going to turn out. Short term. But I know in long term how it's going to turn out. In long term, we know. But in the short term, while you and I are here facing what we're facing today, the uncertainty of so many things today, the crisis that we seem like we're facing. And I've got it pretty easy. I'll be honest with you. I've got it pretty easy. As far as I know, my salary is secure. Some of your salaries may not be. We don't know what we're going to face yet as some of these crises are magnified. But here's our solution. The reason I love this passage, especially this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, this is the solution for God's children, for God's church, as we face the crises that come in this world. And here's the most important one. Look in verse 33 again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Seek you first God's righteousness. Seek that righteousness which God gives a man. Seek that righteousness that's called the righteousness of faith. Imputed righteousness. That righteousness that never changes. A righteousness that God gives to a man and justifies him from everything and clothes the shame of his nakedness. God has made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Of Christ, of God are you in Christ Jesus. Listen to this now. Who of God is made unto you righteousness. Seek that righteousness. Seek it by faith. Believe in Christ for it. Tell Him to clothe you with that garment of righteousness. Tell Him to give it to you. And then when He has, when you have some assurance of it, live in the reality that you have a righteousness that never changes. Whatever crisis you face in your life, you have a righteousness that never changes. I tell you, a man can face some trials. A man can face some crises in his heart, in his family, in his community, in his country. If he can be assured in his heart, I have a righteousness that God requires. I have a righteousness that God has given me. I have a righteousness that never changes. It's the righteousness of someone who is already in heaven. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, if you've got a righteousness like that, you can face this world with some peace, with some confidence in your heart. You kill me. You punish me. You put me in jail. Do with me what you want. My righteousness is in heaven. You can't touch my righteousness. And not only seek that righteousness, that imputed righteousness, but seek an upright walk with God every day. Keep your conscience clear with Him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Be honest, be truthful, walk in the light as He is in the light. Read His Word, meditate upon it. Live by faith, believe His promises. Seek His will in everything. Seek you first. I tell you, if we do this, if you'll do this, everything else will begin to take its place. Now you just try and see if that don't work. Everything else, the things that you used to be so concerned about and worried about and anxious about, you'll begin to see. You'll begin to lose those things. The worrying and the fretting. Look here at verse 19 right quick, because I don't want to take up a lot of your time. Verses 19 through verse 21. Let's just look quickly at these verses. Lay up treasures. Lay not up, he said, treasures upon this earth. Treasures, earthly treasures. You know, really, in honesty, in all honesty, there's no such thing as earthly treasures. There's nothing valuable about anything in this world. Gold's not a valuable thing. It's a corruptible thing. They pave heaven streets with it. You know what makes something a treasure when we set our hearts on it? We make gold our treasure by esteeming it. That's what makes a treasure out of something. The things of this world are not a treasure in and of themselves. It's when we esteem them to be so. We set our heart and our life upon it. The best commentary on the Scriptures is the Scripture. And listen to these Scriptures that I read them to you, and you'll see that it's not just gold, it's not silver, or anything else that this world has that's a treasure, but it's when we trust to them, when we set our heart on them. Now listen to these Scriptures, I'll read them to you. Job said, if I have made gold my hope, and if I have said to find gold, you're my confidence. That's what makes it a treasure, and if it becomes my hope, if it becomes my confidence to get me through some tough times, I'm going to fall back on it. Listen to what David said. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Oh, there's a treasure in it. Set not your heart upon them. And Solomon said, will you set your eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away to heaven like an eagle. Solomon said again, he that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loves abundance with increase. How hardly shall they be saved who trust in riches. See what he's saying? It's a confidence, it's a hoping in, it's a trusting in. Listen one more place. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. For they that will be rich fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drowns men in perdition. For the love of money is the root of all. Not money, nothing matter with it, is it? But the love of it. Love of it. See how we make a treasure out of something. Don't make treasures out of these worldly things. Don't set your heart. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon this earth. But verse 20, he said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Make the will of God your treasure. That's a good treasure, ain't it? Esteem the will of God above everything else. Let that be the most valuable thing in your life. My meat is to do the will of Him, that sent me, and to finish his work. That was the treasure that belonged to Christ, the will of his Father. Esteem faith and love and hope above everything else. These are treasures. These are treasures. All faith is a treasure, ain't it? Precious. Precious, Larry. The trial of it is precious. Hope is precious. Love is precious. These things won't be taken away from you. A thief's not going to break through and steal those things. And they can't rust. Never wear out. Seek every motive in your heart to be for Christ's glory. Oh, what a treasure that is. Doing everything you do for His glory. When you sigh, let it be over sin. That's a good treasure. Every word that you speak, let it be for the good of the Lord's people. That's a treasure, folks. That's a treasure. To build up the Lord's little flock, to edify them, that's a treasure. Let your desire, let your prayers, let your word be for your fellow man to turn him from his errors to the truth. That's a treasure. These are treasures that will never be robbed, they'll never rust, and the moth will never eat them up. Listen to what this says. Listen to these verses of Scripture. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love which you have showed towards His name, in that you have ministered and you do minister to the saints. And we trust that every one of you will show the same assurance, the full assurance until the end. God will never forget what you do for His glory and the good of His people. He'll lay it up there in heaven. I can't understand that, but that's what He said. Listen to this passage. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's treasures. That's treasures. And listen to this one. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. Things above. That's treasure. Set your mind, set your heart, set your will. Meditate upon, give your thoughts to those things which are above. Where Jesus Christ is. Meditate upon those things. And David said, those that do that will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. They lay up fruit in heaven. Set your affection upon things above. You know something, brothers and sisters? Moth and rust and thieves are going to get everything in this world. Ain't no sense you trying to hang on to it. There's some very smart thieves out there. And they're going to get it after a while. One of them is death. Death take it. It'll kick you out of your house and it'll get everything you got. Moth, rust. I was over at my dad's. We sold my dad after my dad died over in his woods. He owned a farm, and over in the back of his woods for years, people had pulled cars over there and parked them. They just junked them out. And you go over there and look at those old cars, some old cars and old trucks, but they'd all rusted out. Fit for nothing. Fit for nothing. You couldn't do anything. They finally came in and just load them and hauled them off. Hauled them off. Fit for nothing. And I wonder how many hearts that was set on that car right there. I wonder what the labor and the time that somebody went in to buy that old truck. And here it sits, it's all rusted down, fit for nothing. And somebody set their heart upon that thing. Don't set your heart, the Lord said, upon these things down here. Set them upon things in heaven. Those are eternal things. Eternal things. In verse 22, the light of the body, he goes on the same subject. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the darkness that's in thee, if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You know something, and I'll say this very cautiously, but a Christian life is a joyful life. It's a peaceful life, and it's not a difficult life when you keep your eye on one eye. And you found that to be so. It's when you get your eye off of that one object that it becomes difficult. That's what this word single means, just one object. Looking in one direction. If your eye be single, if you're looking one direction, you remember when they stoned Stephen to death. And just before he died, the scripture says he looked up into the heavens and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on his right hand. And he said, I see him. I see the glory of God. And I see my Lord standing at his right hand. I see him. I see him. And somebody said, boy, what a way to die. And another man said, what a way to live. That's a way to live, ain't it? Looking unto Jesus. Have a single eye. Look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto me and be ye saved from sin. Look unto me and be ye saved from worry. Look unto me and be ye saved from heartaches and troubles. Always be looking unto Jesus. Have a single eye to Him and you'll find out your whole body's full of light. Your heart's full of light. We look not at the things which are seen. Ain't that what the apostle said? That's what the world looks at. But the children of God don't look at the things which are seen. The things which are seen are temporal. Everything about this world is temporal. They're fading away, brothers and sisters. They're fading away. It's almost like they're not real. My son came down yesterday evening and we were visiting together and he was talking about politics and politicians and how they just lie like dogs, he said, you know, and he finally said, Dad, I can't even tell what's real anymore. I can't even tell what's real anymore. Well, if you're looking at the world, you're looking at the things of the world, you're looking at things that aren't even real. They're vapors, born for one brief day, and then they vanish away, they're gone. By the time you think you got them in your hand, boy, they fly away. Wasn't even real. It was a shadow. Really, they're not real. We look not at the things which are seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they ain't seen with this eye, but they're seen with the eye of the soul. They're seen through the eye of faith. Those are eternal things. You know what's real? You know what's real? You know what's satisfying to the soul? Eternal things. Eternal truths. Spiritual things. Holy things. The things of God. The things of Christ. The things of the Holy Spirit. Those are lasting things. God is light. Jesus Christ dwells in the light. His Word is a lamp and a light unto our feet. Jesus Christ is the light of heaven. And if you keep your eye upon Him, get your eye upon Him, and keep your eye upon Him, your whole body, your heart, your mind, your spirit, it'll be full of light. It'll be full of light. But if you and I look around us, and we set our eye upon the things around us, you know what? We're looking at things of darkness. And those that's got their eye on this world and the things of this world, darkness has filled their hearts. Darkness has filled their spirit. Love not the world, or the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These are not of God, but these are of the world. And what's going to happen to the world? It's going to pass away. But they who do the will of God abideth forever. That's what's real, brothers and sisters. That's what's real. That's what's real. The things of God are real. The Word of God is real. Truth is real. Keep your eye upon that. A single eye upon that. And your whole body, your heart, will be full of light. Look in verse 24. This is amazing, and it almost seems out of context here, but it's really not. It's the very same subject. Look here. No man can serve. No man can. No man can come to me except my Father draw. No man can serve two masters. Not at one time. Can't serve two masters. Ain't it sad when we see what sin's done to us? It's destroyed the whole order of things. All these things in the beginning was put under our feet. God put them there to serve us. Mammon. Money, whatever that is. All these things were put under our feet to serve us. But sin entered, and now everything is turned upside down. Instead of everything serving us, if we're not careful, we start serving things. Mammon, the master? Mammon is my master? Mammon is my God? People live for mammon. They serve mammon. It becomes the end to which they labor. And instead of them using and controlling it, it uses and controls them. It becomes a master. And when we look around us and see all the mammon, I don't care what farm that it comes in. It comes in so many farms. Instead of us being able to say, oh, what a blessing. Oh, got a job. Man, I got a job. $1,000 a week. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Oh, got an inheritance. $100,000. What a blessing. Building me a new house. What a blessing. What a blessing. But instead of being a blessing, the Lord warns us, don't let it become your master. Don't let it become your master. The only way that you and I can lawfully enjoy the things of this world, lawfully enjoy them, lawful things. He's not talking about anything but lawful. Your food, your drink, your raiment. The only way you and I, brothers and sisters, can enjoy the things of this world is to enjoy them in this way. Enjoy them. After and only as we enjoy our God. Use them only as we serve our God. And if we're not careful, we can take these lawful things and make idols out of them. If anybody can enjoy this world and the things of this world, I tell you, it's a child of God. It's a child of God. Because they enjoy them as they enjoy God. In verse 25 through verse 34, and I'll look at this and I'll let you go. The Lord deals here in these passages with the importance of our thought process. One of the most critical things in our life is how we think. Did you realize that? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The Apostle Paul said, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and of good report, think upon these things. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, who thinks upon thee. Our thought process is so important, and the Lord Jesus here gives us an illustration of that. Notice how he instructs us in our thought process there in verse 25. He says, don't think this way, but think this other way. He says in verse 25, I say unto you, take no anxious thought. Don't be worried for your daily life, saying, what in the world are we going to eat? What in the world are we going to drink? And you get so anxious in your thoughts that you forget that you have a Father in heaven that has fed the ravens and continues to feed them. Ain't it an amazing thing and a humbling thing too? But it's a truth that God loves and cares for and provides for His children. Now, ain't that an amazing thing? That's difficult for us to believe, but it's the truth. That's what the Master tells us. If He feeds the ravens, will He not much more feed you? And to not remember that and to mistrust our Father in heaven is sin. That's all it is sin. To worry in my thoughts what I'm going to eat today, what I'm going to drink today, to be so concerned about that I can't sleep. Ain't that an awful mistrust? And then he says there in verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. And they don't toil, they don't work, they don't spin. And I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Who is it that clothes these lilies? Nobody human. You don't plant them. Not out in the wilderness. They just grow on their own. They're beautiful. And who puts them there and who clothes them? Your Father in heaven. Your Father. Solomon had to work so hard. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being a seamstress for King Solomon? Can you imagine the late hours that you worked for that man and you was worried sick, afraid he didn't like it? All the money, all the toil, all the effort that went into making his garments. But you, the Master, pointed at those lilies. He said, those lilies are more glorious than Solomon in his array. Why? God clothed them himself. They didn't hit a lick. They never picked up a pick. They did nothing. God clothed. Will your Father not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Thought process is real important, ain't it? This is what they were thinking, you see. They were thinking, oh no, what am I going to eat? Oh, my soul, what am I going to drink? Oh, my soul, where are we going to get clothes? Oh, my, they just worried themselves sick. The Lord said, don't think that way. You're the children of your Father. Think this way. My Father, which fed the birds of the air and clothed the lilies, He'll feed and clothe me. That's my Father. And trust Him. Trust Him. Just keep remembering this. Don't ever forget this. My Father in heaven, He loves me. And He'll feed me and He'll clothe me. Keep thinking that way. Keep thinking that way. And He gives us a good reason to keep thinking that way. Look in verse 31. Therefore take no thought. Well, He done told us that. Yes, but now look what's added to it. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? See that? Before it was just in their thoughts. Now they're talking about it. Before they were just thinking, how in the world? But now they're talking, how in the world? They're like us sometimes when we get together. Instead of talking about spiritual things, where does the conversation pretty soon go? To politics and to taxes. Boy, I tell you, my check. I don't know if I'm going to get my check. Ain't that the way we are? We've been worried about these things. We've had these things on our mind. And then, when we start talking to somebody, that's what comes out. Now in verse 34, look at this. It even goes further than that. Before, they were thinking about today. What are we going to eat today? What clothes are we going to wear today? Then they started talking about it. And now it's got worse. Look in verse 34. Take no thought for the morrow. Now what are they worried about? Now they're worried about tomorrow. Now they're worried about next week. Now next year. We was down in Mexico a few years ago, and I never will forget this. It was very amusing. We'd been down there about a week, and we never picked up a newspaper, never had a TV set on, never listened to a radio. We had no access to the media. We didn't have time. We were just going and meeting with the Lord's people and worshiping, singing. Felt so good in our souls. And on the way back home, somebody said, I wonder how it's going on in the world. And somebody else said, it's strange that it's been able to exist and survive without us worrying about it. But it did. Ain't it strange that we think sometime we're not going to make it if we don't worry about it? As though somehow or another, God could not keep us. He would not be willing to keep us and care for us unless we were so anxious about it all. See what I said, brothers and sisters, at the beginning of this. I don't know what we're facing. I really don't know what we're facing. Nobody else does. But just facing daily life is bad enough. And to take these precious truths that our Lord Jesus tells us is so comforting, so reassuring. We can live so peaceful and so trustful. May God help us to do that. Let's pray.